Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put them in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in middle school, I got to attend my very first concert, live music, full-on band, all that good stuff. Of course, it was a Christian concert because, well, that's just how it was. And I remember getting to downtown Minneapolis with my church group, parking our cars, and then winding our way through tons and tons and tons of people who also came out to see this band. And as we were walking to the show, I vividly remember looking up as a school bus was passing by and seeing another teenager, probably about my own age, making contact with this kid. And then he raised his hand to make a gesture. And I don't know if it was because the kids in my neighborhood whom I grew up with, because they were kind of, you know, miscreants, but only miscreants in the way that third ring suburbs could be miscreants. He raised his hand, and I don't know what I was expecting, some sort of rude gesture. Instead, he did this. Peace. Now, I'm not quite sure why this memory has stuck with me for so many years. It might be because somehow subconsciously I knew I would be a pastor someday and I would need lots and lots of stories to fill up my sermons. Or it might be because this gesture was so simple and so unexpected and so surprising. I wasn't expecting it at all. I was expecting something more, I don't know, crude, but instead I got offered peace. When we catch up with the disciples today, they've had a rough few days, to say the least. They watched as Judas, one of their own, someone they trusted, betrayed Jesus. They watched as Jesus was arrested. They fled. They denied Jesus in public. They watched helplessly as Jesus was condemned to death. They watched as he was beaten. They watched as he carried his own cross. They watched or hid as he was crucified and died. And now on Sunday, Jesus' body has gone missing. Mary told them about her encounter with the risen Jesus, but they have yet to see Jesus with their own eyes. Now, I can't say exactly for sure what they were expecting or thinking, but I can make a couple of good guesses, especially based on Jesus' words of greeting to them. Remember, the disciples had fled or deserted Jesus. They hadn't been the voice of reason and the crowd calling for Jesus to be crucified, not or freed and not crucified. Instead, they had been silent. Peter had even denied Jesus. Only one disciple had the courage to show up to the foot of the cross. They had been in hiding ever since. I don't know if you've ever had to face a loved one after you did something you shouldn't, but you know it's not very fun at all. Maybe it's the morning after an important event you were supposed to attend, but didn't make it because you were working long hours. Maybe you bought something really expensive and frivolous without consulting your spouse, and they found out just how much you spent on this item. Maybe you're not so proud of your grades and your report card, and you know your parents know that you're bringing it home, and you have to hand it over and look at their faces as they see your grades for that one course. Maybe you failed to do that one important thing you absolutely needed to get done. You know you deserve to get that earful, the cold shoulder, the look, the disappointment, the anger, the yelling. It's all totally deserved. The disciples aren't sure what the resurrected Jesus is going to do. Though Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, we remember Mary had pretty much been there the entire time. She didn't hide during the crucifixion and was instead at the foot of the cross and the first to approach the tomb of Jesus. So being faced with Jesus means being faced with their own shame and guilt. It means being faced with what they had done or failed to do over the last few days. It means being faced with the very one whom they had betrayed, denied, abandoned, and left for dead. It means being faced with their own shortcomings and their own sin in a very real way. About a year ago, Saturday Night Live came up with a brilliant sketch video. Every once in a while, they'll hit gold. It's a little bit more rare nowadays. But it was a brilliant parody of a Quentin Tarantino movie. Now, Quentin Tarantino is a very well-known film director with a very distinct style and point of view. And to be fair, his movies are not for everyone. I get that. However, if you have at all been paying attention to the films that he has released since 2000, they all pretty much fall within the same genre. They're all revenge fantasies. Kill Bill, Inglourious Basterds, Django Unchained. They're very crazy and very violent stories about revenge. Well, the video was a trailer for a fake film called Jesus Uncrossed. It showed Jesus, after being resurrected, going medieval on those who had sentenced him to death and killing them all in very violent ways, including Judas, Pontius Pilate, and the Romans. Let it be said that I don't recommend that everyone go home now immediately and watch that clip unless you really like satire and Quentin Tarantino and you don't get offended easily. Seriously, you have been warned. However, all that being said, the parody does bring up a good point. I think the disciples half expected the resurrected Jesus to come back and avenge his death because that's how it usually goes. After all, they had denied, deserted, betrayed, abandoned, and sold out Jesus when it had all gone down. They hadn't been the best of friends, and they knew it. They knew they didn't deserve mercy. And we know that we aren't exempt from this either. We too have been right there with the disciples doing the same things they did. We too have sold out Jesus when it wasn't popular to say that we're a Christian. We too have denied Jesus in order to save face and reputation. We too have deserted Jesus when it's been convenient for us. So we hide apprehensively behind closed doors, just like the disciples, unsure of what Jesus is going to do to us when we meet him face to face after his resurrection. Is Jesus going to scold us? Is Jesus going to give us the look? Is Jesus going to denounce us as friends and as followers? Is Jesus going to kick us out of the group? Is Jesus going to go all Quentin Tarantino revenge fantasy on us because we certainly deserve it? And all of this, all of our fear, all of our apprehension, all of our uncertainty is why Jesus greets us and the disciples with these words, "Peace be with you." Jesus greets us with peace. Peace. Not revenge, not yelling, not scolding, not the look, not disappointment. Peace. Peace be with you. In these words, we finally know everything is going to be all right. Peace be with you. Through these words, we know that we have peace with God, that even though we probably deserve anything but, peace is given to us. Things have been made right between us and God through the very thing that ought to have brought God's wrath down upon us, the cross. Through the cross and the resurrection, we finally have peace with God through Jesus. It's being given this peace and forgiveness in the most unexpected time and the most unexpected way. Through the cross and the resurrection, all of our sins, our betrayal, our abandonment, our cowardice are forgiven and washed away. And all that's left is grace and peace. Peace be with you. This is why we share God's peace with each other in worship. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the peace we are given through God, the peace that changes everything, the peace that redefines our relationship with God. And I'd like to believe this is why that kid some 17 years ago gave me a little peace. This is why we say, "Go in peace," at the end of the service. We go into the world being assured that we have God's peace, God's forgiveness, and God's grace. And this is why we are called to share God's peace with the world. We go in peace to share this peace in a world that's torn by war, conflict, and strife. We go with God's word of peace be with you to a world that so desperately needs to feel God's peace, love, grace, and forgiveness as deeply and intimately as we have, as the disciples have. God's peace goes with us wherever we go and can meet us in any and all places. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.